Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law and business law attorney at the law office of Eric M. Sauver. I'm also your host of this weekly video podcast and talk radio show here on Talk Radio NYC. And each week I have guests on the show and we discuss the pressing employment and business law issues impacting business owners and entrepreneurs, particularly in light of this challenging environment posed by the COVID-19 pandemic. And our goals in the show are really threefold. First is to inform businesses out there about the different employment law updates and the business challenges that they face in terms of transition, changing, and this new normal. The second goal we have is to inspire businesses by giving them the tools to move forward through our guests and their knowledge and information and their services. And the third goal of our show is to demonstrate how some business owners have overcome their any employment and business challenges posed by this pandemic and are walking through these tough times and taking the steps to regain traction or continue traction during this challenging time that we're in right now. So my guest this week, I would argue, fits into the second and third category in terms of inspiring businesses and serving as a model for how to move forward during these challenging times. My guest tonight is David Bartley. David, welcome to the show. Oh, I think you're muted, David.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's good to see you, and it's good to be here with you.
Good to see you as well. As we mentioned, full disclosure, David's a colleague, also a client of mine. I've been watching Freemi's growth over the past couple of years, and really it's great to see you on the show here and to speak to you sort of face-to-face. It's been hard during the pandemic. There's a lot of phone calls, and so it's great to see you live here.
You're looking good. The new abnormal, huh?
Yeah. I think we can get into all that. And I want to give you a proper introduction, David, if I may. So as I mentioned, folks, David Bartley, he is the CEO and founder of Freemi Inc., which is a membership-based service that provides unlimited data, talk, and text included nationwide for a low annual membership fee. David began his career in early childhood education at a private preschool and learning center in South Central Pennsylvania. As an administrator there, he discovered the tremendous connectivity needs for families in underserved communities. After piloting home internet programs with the school, he quickly realized a broader opportunity to change the model in the consumer mobile broadband space. And now, instead of monthly rate plans, with Freemi, members can save hundreds or thousands of dollars every year by purchasing a membership with unlimited connectivity included. The company is currently in beta with launch scheduled later this year, as I know from being David's counsel. David hopes to broaden access and improve the internet experience for all customers. So, David, again, really good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be here, man. Thank you. Sure. So where do we start? Where do you want to dive in?
Sure. Well, let's dive in with just a quick, I'm going to just summarize the topic for our listeners tonight, our audience out there. So our topic tonight of our discussion is startup success during COVID. And we were talking about this, how founding and running a startup presents several challenges. And that's true even in the best of times. How do you decide when to hire full-time employees? What operational factors do you consider? How do you plan for a launch or fundraising event in light of your sales cycles and cash flow? So tonight, David, as founder of Freemi, is going to talk about these topics with me. He's going to share his experience of how Freemi has flourished during the pandemic. And I'll be weighing in as well, just my thoughts on these topics from an employment law and business law perspective. So with that, perhaps I can ask you, David, the first question on the agenda tonight. Wondering, from your perspective, when startup founders are in the early stages forming their company, what issues should they be looking at?
I think first you have to start on paper, of course, kind of designing what your end goal is. That's where founders could potentially go wrong. So with developing a product or service, you could potentially be setting yourself up for failure if you don't design, at least thought on paper. If you're wanting to scale your business beyond measure and hit that escape velocity, and then potentially startups are for you. But for many people, you could be looking at a startup, or excuse me, a product or service that might better fit as just a small business. And that would go a long way into designing what your roadmap might be. So I think starting there, determining how big you eventually want your company to be and what the end goal is. If you're going to exit with an IPO or a sale and acquisition, if you're going to pass it down to your children, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. you certainly want to start with the end in mind, because that could, you know, determine whether you go the C Corp route, if you go LLC or some other social benefit entity, whatever it might be. You kind of want to start with the end in mind. And the same goes for your product and service, right? You want to mm-hmm. start with your experience that you want your customers or clients or whoever to have, and then kind of work backwards from there about how does that reflect in your product and its features? How does that reflect in your website or in your packaging? And mm-hmm. then how does that influence or inform your go-to-market strategy as well? So I think in the very early stages, the more you put on paper, the higher probability of success for you. So I think that's a great place for founders.
Yeah. No, I think it's really a good starting point, because I think, you know, it's a lot of startups, a lot of founders that I've met over the years as the business law attorney, right? They're visionaries. They have a lot of ideas and a lot of good ideas often. And I think that if you don't have it sort of on paper, you can't really have a concrete plan of action. You know, it's very hard to map out all the possibilities like that you mentioned. For example, you know, your point, David, about what type of entity to form, C Corp, social benefit company, if you don't have the end in mind as a vision.
Right.
So I think that is a really good point to start with.
I think the counterpoint here, though, is you also have to make a bit of progress. So at some point, you got to decide and move forward. And for most things, mm-hmm. they can be changed and amended at some point. So whether you start C Corp and you realize later down the line, actually LLC was better for you, there's options for you at that point. But mm-hmm. good thing is to start on paper and to make progress toward whatever your decisions are, and mm-hmm. to seek wise counsel, right? Good counsel is always a good help. So yeah, you definitely want to do that. The earlier, the better.
I hear you and agree with you there, although I'm a bit biased, but I do agree. But you know, That is a really good point. I mean, in terms of, it's like, it's on paper, but it's in pencil, right? It could be erased, it could be revised, like have a plan, have something concrete. What I hear you saying is have a concrete plan, but have it be flexible and fluid so that you can change, let's say, with your, let's say you do some beta testing and you find that your market is more into a different product, or let's say a pandemic hits and you have to scale back or plan a different type of way to present your services to your customers or clients. I think that's interesting to note that you can have something in writing, and just because you have a plan, it doesn't mean that you're locked into it. I think a lot of people are afraid to put it on paper because they feel like they're being locked into what they wrote. But most plans get amended. Most stock documents, organizational documents get changed, you know, frequently when new people come on board or when a founder leaves or a co-founder comes into the picture. So I know from my perspective as a lawyer, I tend to agree with you there. You do need that something in writing, yet flexible for change.
Right. Exactly right. And it's the balance between, again, making a decision, but making a decision that keeps the most options for you on the table long term. Mm.
Interesting. You know, and I heard you mention about seeking counsel. And I'm also was wondering if you can share with our viewers tonight, what other resources might they be seeking out in terms of professionals? Like whom can you think of that might come to mind?
Oh, geez. That kind of, it goes back to the first point as well, which is, are you looking to bootstrap, and would you want to or would you want to raise money for your company, right? And to make those determinations pretty early on as well. If you're kind of venturing into startup, chances are that you would want to seek outside funding at some point. So the sooner you kind of engage with professionals in their respective domain, accounting, finance, legal, employment law, all of those good things, the better. And you can start with, you know, just advisors or whoever might be in your network that mm-hmm. can provide some expertise that is really just beyond what you might currently have the experience with. There are quite a few, you know, it's 2021 now, and there's quite a few resources out there in the marketplace to be able to either outsource your professional needs in mm-hmm. terms of accounting or any of those more professional services, yep. As opposed to bringing those individuals or that talent on full time before the business is maybe ready to support employees like that.
Right. One thing I hear there is just the concept of that, you know, no man or woman or person is an island, and right. any good company is really going to need a team. You'll need advisors, whether they be CFOs, outsourced CFOs, CPAs, attorneys, people that might be business consultant coaches or marketing help. And I think what I've noticed over the years, just my experience practicing law, I mean, I started practicing in 1999, so it was a whole different area. Even the term startup had a different connotation then. But I have noticed over the years that the companies that hire assistants, and let's just talk about even not legal for a minute. Let's talk about CPAs or assistants in terms of marketing or CFOs that are outsourced, or if you can't afford them full time because you're just starting out, just having them that you can hire as needed, they tend to do better because they can then focus on their vision and building that mm-hmm. and selecting the right team, putting in the work to get the product or service sort of fine-tuned and out there. And it's really helpful, I think. You know, I think it runs contrary to what some entrepreneurs come to the table with, which is a mentality of I've got to do it all myself. And I have seen that those that reach out for help actually get further. I don't know if you've seen that in your experience in life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know. As an entrepreneur, you're designing a product or a service that serves or does and performs for somebody or some market segment, and the company enables that product or service to do it for many people, right? Mm-hmm. And as the entrepreneur, you're focusing on the best product or service you can provide, but you have to build the best company you can, and you need professional help for that. So definitely, I think that's a great point.
Mm. I think we're on the same page in that one, you know, in that regard, in terms of just that question. We actually, believe it or not, are coming up on our first commercial break. So rather than ask a question and get cut off, let me just take it right now. Folks, we'll be back shortly. I'm Eric Sauver, host of Employment Law Today, here with my guest tonight, David Barkley, founder of FreeMe. And we're talking about startup success during COVID. So stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Ann Dow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Inning. After innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm still your host, Eric Sauver, from the Law Office of Eric M. Sauver, employment law, business law attorney, here tonight with my special guest, colleague and client, David Barkley. David is the CEO and founder of Freemi Inc., which is a membership-based service providing unlimited data, talk, and text included nationwide for a low annual membership fee. So David and I were just talking about what startups or founders look for in the early stages of forming their company. What should they be looking at? And we talked a little bit about resources that they should be seeking out. So now we're on to a question, David, if I may, another question for you, sir.
Great.
So talking about help, since no person is an island, what should founders be aware of when looking to onboard employees or workers?
So that's a kind of a later question, I'm sure. In terms of the challenges in onboarding, I think early on, you want to start as early as possible, of course, again, pen to paper, and really defining what your goals are for hiring. My perspective of full-time employees is really the holy grail of being able to gauge how much dedicated attention and effort you have going toward your goal or vision, which is why being able to do a head count and really say I have 15, 20, 100 employees. It's just a signal of how fast you can go toward your goal and vision. On the early side of that, you have to consider if the business is ready for it. Maybe you're in your early R&D phase, right? And like us, we're in beta. So we've chosen not as of yet to have many employees on board at any time soon because we definitely want to make sure that we've learned all we could about the industry and market that we're in before we commit to a long-term ramping up our overhead and also just the size and obligations of our business. And I think really identifying what your long-term goals are, mm-hmm. then kind of breaking it down and saying, okay, if I'm going to do a round of hiring, what's the outcome supposed to be with these round of hires? I have a certain time frame of training, certain time frame of deploying these new professionals or employees in their respective positions. And then there's got to be some uplift with that those round of hires. And what does that look like? And being able to specifically identify with this round of hiring, what should be the outcome? Is it a certain clip of increased sales? Is it a certain reduction in acquisition cost for your customers? What are those specific goals that this round of employees are going to help you get to? And that's how you can kind of measure your success of the original intent of onboarding employees in the first place.
That's it's a good take on this. I mean, I hear the financial considerations, economic factors that like you talk about, for example, whether you have funding, whether your company can afford to have employees early on. based on where, what stage they're at, what stage of the game you're. I hear the logistical aspect. If you've got, say, certain goals to meet, you might need more employees to make that happen, to meet that goal. And, you know, so I think those are really good pointers for anyone out there looking to have a startup. What I would add from my point of view as an employment law attorney is that you have to look at the roles, the positions, like what the person is being asked to do, and then make sure that whatever the federal and state sort of criteria, the factors are that the IRS, Department of Labor all consider when seeing if your worker should be classified as a consultant, independent contractor, freelancer, et cetera, or whether they should be employed, that's an important factor as well. So for example, if you have someone that's going to be coming in because you need them there 50 hours a week, they say they take all direction from you as the founder, and you have them sign a non-compete because you want to make sure they're not working for the competition directly, then you've got yourself an employee. And so you need to consider, okay, if I don't have the resources for employees yet, do I restructure their position? Do I make them, have to give them more flexibility, right? To come set their own schedule, to work less, to... So I think that, you know, when you combine, like I'm hearing from you that really good points on operations and finance, and I'm kind of, you know, filling in the legal part, you know, sort of my coloring it from that perspective.
I mean, from the ideal to the practical, right? So on the ideal side, is the company ready? Do we have enough runway? Do we have our development timeline specifically identified? So once you onboard your employees, you have a plan for them kind of right away that they can kind of get the task with. On the practical side, it's, do you have payroll accounts set up? Do you have a payroll provider set up? Do you have your unemployment insurance accounts? If you have, you know, employees working remotely, then, you know, those are multi-state unemployment insurance accounts. You have your benefits and the whole lot of the weight that, you know, as an entrepreneur and a manager of the business that you have to consider as well. So there's two ends of it that you definitely want to at least have some familiarity with as you go forward, and then, you know, enlist professionals such as yourself to kind of point us in the right direction. So that's kind of my best words of advice, are to seek professional direction because employment law is not necessarily anything that you want to fall out of compliance with above anything else. And then just making sure that on the projection part of it in terms of runway and funds on hand, that you have some idea of concrete timelines for those.
You know, it's kind of funny as an employment law attorney, it kind of like, it warms my heart to hear, you know, someone considering all those factors, including, you know, what the compliance issues are, making sure that you're following the federal and state laws, making sure that you're set up with payroll and unemployment insurance. You know, these are all, as David mentioned, right, really important factors. And, you know, sort of going back, David, to your point around this issue, which is similar to your point earlier, in that it helps to have a plan on paper, helps to have sort of a roadmap to see where you want to go. And if your goal is to, say, go public, you know, well, how many workers do you need to make that happen? If your goal is a long, you know, slow buildup, or let's say if you're in a very hot market and it's very urgent to roll out your product or service ASAP, then maybe you do want to get another round of investors, pump some, infuse some money into the startup and hire. So I think it's all, you know, definitely I like the idea that you mentioned about, you know, just having something on paper, because you really, I think planning is what I'm hearing, right? Planning is really key to any startup success. Would you kind of agree with that in terms of the planning aspect?
Absolutely. I think planning in terms of projecting as best you can with a certain degree of confidence and your scenario analysis, right? Best case, worst case, what's more likely to happen and how you would approach each. I think as a small guy, your number one tool you have is planning and projecting and trying to get a sense of the incumbents in your space or whoever might be potential new entrants or competitors. What are their likely approaches after you kind of jump into the market and make a some waves, what could you project that might happen? And then how do you get a sense of macro trends, both globally and in your industry? What is kind of going to be moving the ground, per se, in your industry that you also might want to be aware of? And then how does that affect your timeline of onboarding employees? Would you maybe want to ramp up another 10-20% on top of what you originally projected because you want to capitalize on a specific window of opportunity given in your industry? We're actually kind of in that wave here as well in the telecommunications space, given the pandemic and where we stand. There's just a ton of opportunity. And, you know, whether we kind of double time to take advantage of it, or do we kind of keep the ship steady as we've originally planned, is kind of the internal discussion at this point. But you have the options available to you. It's just that planning, preparation, and really just projecting as much as you can with those different scenarios, I think are the best tools as a young startup that you can exercise.
Sure. You know, and I think that, I mean, planning not only helps in terms of, from a legal perspective, making sure you're in compliance with whatever the rules are, the federal, state labor laws, employment laws, but also I think that employees like to see that there's a direction, that there's a North Star sort of, right? Something to point to. And that, pardon me, when you or have a plan mapped out, when employees come onto a company and they're onboarded and everything is set up, they have their employee handbooks in place, an offer letter that's set, they know what their role will be, they know if they have any kind of future or stock options or vesting, all really important that you have that planning in advance, because you have employees that might be coming on. And again, if they come into a situation where they don't know, have any direction to where they're going, it could be kind of problematic. So I think that's really the point. But I feel like there's some slogan somewhere out there about planning that I just can't quite put my finger on, like something about planning being 99% of something. You know, we have to take a commercial break. It seems impossible, right? The time just sort of flies by. But
it's good conversation. That's what happens.
Yeah, for sure. But I will say this. Folks, if you're tuning in, you can catch us live on Facebook. This is being recorded. We also have an audio on the Talk Radio NYC website. I'm Eric Sauber. I'm the host of Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC. Here with my guest tonight, David Bargley, CEO of FreeMe. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Do you run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law and business law attorney at the law office of Eric M. Sauver, here every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Talk Radio NYC. My guest tonight, as I mentioned, folks, is David Barkley, CEO and founder of Free Me, Inc. And wanted to ask David a question now that we're back. David, wondering what your thoughts are, what impact has the pandemic had on your view, I should say, of launching a startup?
I think the pandemic for me has been a bit or resulted in a perspective that's a little counterintuitive. I think, when the economy and just opportunities in general contract, one, they're temporary, regardless of how traumatic they might be. To kind of back up, I graduated from college, Hampton University, in 2008. Just as the financial crisis started and really blossomed, unfortunately, but it gave me quite a bit of context heading into this pandemic and understanding that these rough times, they don't last, and you can use the pullback as an opportunity to spring forward. Quite a bit. So with this pandemic and with the country doing its best to come out of it, to me, it's really just a land grab. During these tough times, it is the survival of the fittest. And for us, we just resolved to kind of stay a little lean and strong so that we can continue refining our product, our offer, and our service, really learning quite a bit. And once we kind of get to a certain level of confidence that we can really bring a differentiated experience to the market is when we would certainly do that. Fortunately for us, we're excited about launch later this year. I really feel that with the pandemic, in the contraction of the economy overall, there actually turned out to be quite a bit of opportunity. Ad costs on major digital channels had decreased quite a bit because there was less competition and less people purchasing ad costs. There is more business opportunities because the businesses that were able to survive are looking for new partnerships and demand to catch the upswing as the economy kind of goes forward. So there is a ton, depending on your industry and your position within that industry, there may be a ton of opportunity for you. And it's really on business leaders and entrepreneurs to decide, hey, how can I turn this kind of unfortunate circumstance globally into an opportunity for my business, my company that, can catapult our position in the market?
It's interesting. Absolutely, David. I think what's interesting about what you're saying is that I forget exactly which language, but I know that in some languages, the term crisis means opportunity. It also can mean opportunity. The symbol for both is the same.
I think it's Mandarin.
I think you're right. I think it is Mandarin, yes. It sounds familiar. And so crisis, the symbol being the same for opportunity and crisis, I heard you use the term opportunity a number of times, like opportunity to step back and sort of reassess and do some testing. Opportunity to look what the market needs are and to jump right into that. And also, I heard you mention the challenge, right? Like, we all know that this pandemic has caused people a lot of stress and challenges from a perspective of economics, even emotionally, right? The toll it takes on people being isolated, separated, the sort of lingering, at least pre-vaccine, long-term fear of you know, constant mortality. You know, it's a hard thing, right, to really sit with.
Yeah.
I mean, just thinking that, you know, people who say that if they had this illness and they were sick for 3 weeks, and you think, oh, that's much better. You know, that's not as bad as what I've heard. That's still a long time to be really sick, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, just to touch base on that, you know, point about opportunity, and you mentioned coming out in the 2008 crisis crash or graduation from college. I think it's a really important point to make that, you know, when times are tough, it's a perfectly natural reaction to have some anxiety, stress, right? To have some, I would say some fear. I'd argue that, you know, it certainly could be a time, a scary time. But if a founder or a startup or anyone for that matter gets stuck in that fear or anxious state, then it's very confining. It tends to close off, and it really cuts back on the ability to plan, you know, to be creative, to look forward. So I think it really requires a faith, like that, to what you said, that, you know, things will be okay. Like we'll get out of this. One day we'll all, you know, we'll be in person again. And the economy, if it, you know, takes a hit, it will bounce back, just like it did after 2008, 2009. I mean, that was a very hard year for many folks, but including myself as an attorney. The legal profession took a real strong hit in those years of 08, 09, 2010. So I think, you know, to your point, so would it be fair to say that the pandemic has sort of, well, has to just encourage you to keep going, but to assess where you are? Is that a fair statement?
I mean, it kind of galvanizes your resolve as just a business manager, right? One, if you can make it through it, then it kind of sets you up for the next decade of whatever might come for your business. Not only that, it does, you know, build a little confidence in your team that you have the ability to kind of navigate through tough times. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is really just being able to understand, like you said, that it is temporary. And if you can just kind of weather the storm for a little bit, then you know that on the other side of it could be opportunity that others who were unfortunate enough, unable to survive through the pandemic, you know, it might come to fruition that it falls in your lap to add to your business. The other end of that, I'll say, is that when it comes to the pandemic itself, I do think that you have to have those hard conversations even early on when you're designing the business, especially as a startup, with your co-founders and then with your early team. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, we're on board, things are good now, but if things go kind of left or sideways, that this is the options that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. And to really give people the confidence that you at least thought about what worst case scenarios could be and how to give them assurance that personally your team members will be okay. We all hate taxes until we need them, right? So, you know, that's why for your employees, if you're contributing to your, you know, state unemployment fund and all of those came in really handy for businesses and really for individuals. It's the reason you pay taxes for tough times like these, right? And as a business entrepreneur, your number one thing is to make sure that your team members are okay. So if at any point you have to do kind of layoffs, then you certainly want to make sure that you do it in a humane way. And if you have the capability to say, hey, if we're in a position at some point in the future, we'll definitely extend the position for you to return. And I think that's the best you can offer, because as an entrepreneur, you don't control the environment. You just try to navigate through it to bring something unique to the market. So, but yeah, that's my piece on that.
Yeah, you know, I hear, from what I take away from that, what I hear is talk about having contingency plans, right? Number one. And number two, conveying those, communicating those to your team, to your co-founders. I think that's an important business philosophy in general, because as you mentioned, David, you know, going back to 2008, and also the fact that entrepreneurs and startups need to accept that there will be hard times in the process. It's just part of the business cycle. Of course, it's hard to predict like a once in a century pandemic, you know, but it's a good, I mean, it's okay. This is a very large, situation or urgent situation, I should say, that's happening, this scenario unfolding. So like arguably maybe we could not have predicted this if we were having this conversation, say 15 months ago, 16 months ago, but it's fair to predict that in our lives and in our process as business owners or startups, there will be some hard times, whether they're external circumstances, economies crashing, civil unrest, et cetera, or whether it's internal within the company, right? Maybe a product doesn't work out, the testing shows poor responses, or maybe an investor drops out of the equation. So I think it's important, you're right, to have, and also to have the contingency plans and, compassionate discussions with your employees if you need to let people go, certainly. But so it's interesting to have that perspective now, because I know a lot of people are looking towards,
You certainly want to, cut your losses early. If it comes with reducing headcount, you do it in as humane as you can, but you have to do it swiftly, because the number one name of the game is to do all you can to keep the business to survive so that there might be opportunity for employees to return at a later point. Or if maybe it requires a pivot for the business. Mm-hmm. In times like these, you want to make a swift decision, and you really have to bet the house as much as you can, so that the business has a chance there to survive.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I would add my two cents as an employment law attorney is that if you are letting employees go, keep in mind there might be certain controlling state laws around things like, do you have to pay out the vacation pay they've accrued or not? What are your employee handbooks and policies say to that effect? Or do you have to pay out any unearned commissions, right? And do you have a contract around commissions? And what does your state say about unpaid or earned commissions? So there are a lot of issues around benefits. So I would point out that if you need to let people go, certainly doing it swiftly could be very important to save the company's economic resources. And certainly doing it compassionately and humanely is important. And I'd say also doing it properly from a legal perspective. I think it's really important to have all those factors in there as well.
And they do vary from state to state, as you know,
yes.
In what some of those limitations or obligations would be. Yeah, so you're exactly right.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, all hopefully good points that hopefully our listeners will be hearing, taking in, processing as they listen to this podcast tonight. Speaking of podcasts, everyone has a commercial, so break, which we have to take. So folks, you're listening to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sovereign, employment law, business law attorney, here with David Barkley, CEO and founder of FreeMe. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, employment law, business law attorney, host of this weekly video podcast slash talk radio show here on Talk Radio NYC. I'm joined tonight, folks, as you've heard, by my guest, also a colleague and also a client of mine, David Barkley, CEO and founder of FreeMe. And really, we're talking about some key questions that startups should be considering to have the best chance of success. And David is giving his perspective, his advice, and his input from his experience as a founder, as an entrepreneur, talking about business considerations, logistics, operational, financial, visionary. And I'm also approaching this and looking at this from the employment law and business law perspective and adding some my input on that front. So, David, once again, it's great to have you on the show tonight. You know, I really am enjoying this, the flow here.
Yeah, this has been great. I really appreciate it. You know, employment law can be a little heavy, a little dense, but hopefully we added a little sparkle to the conversation about it.
I hope so. You know, and I agree. I find it all fascinating. I truly love it. I really do. But I know people can find it to be either dry or confusing, or there's a myriad of complex issues that come up. And there are very rarely straightforward answers. You know, I often get calls from potential clients and they'll ask a question, they'll present a scenario and they'll say, so can I do X, yes or no? And often the answer is, it depends. And you go through different scenarios, different factors. And I think that's actually interesting, because I think with startups as well, there's not always a black and white roadmap on how to proceed, right? There are a lot of, you come to certain forks in the road and you have questions, well, maybe we need to pivot, and maybe we need to offer stock in a different way. Maybe we need to offer somebody more stock options and a lower salary starting. Or maybe we want to keep the stock more internally and maybe want to offer them a higher salary. So you need to really, I think, weigh all these things when you're for startup success.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I look at human resources as probably the quintessential asset that any business has, which is why it's so heavily regulated and why there's so much complexity to it. But I think you're exactly right. I also think that for entrepreneurs, we have to just settle and accept the fact that it's our job to kind of bump our head along the way, take certain things to market and fail, take certain products out and fail, try certain agreements and fail. And then once you figure out what that unique kind of combination is, and you get all the stars to align, is when you have a real product market fit, as it's so called, and then customers come to you because you figured out this construct that now they can benefit from in their hopefully everyday lives. So I definitely think that with onboarding, it's probably the best thing you could do in sign of a strong business.
I think, you know, that's all the good points. I think, you know, it's really like kind of the distilled crux of what we've been discussing so far. And I wanted to ask you about a little bit more about FreeMe, if I can get focused on your company, what you do.
Sure.
So I mentioned, of course, folks, in the beginning of the show, how, you know, FreeMe provides unlimited data, talk, and text nationwide for, you know, low annual membership fees. You have a goal and a mission in terms of a model that serves the needs of underserved communities. So I wanted to ask you, David, how do you think FreeMe's, your company's services, positively impact your customers in light of the pandemic, the current situation we're in?
Yeah, I mean, we've got quite a few stories in terms of our users who have wrote in and thanking us for what we've delivered. But generally, well, actually, one that comes to mind is there was a power outage, I think, in Texas a few months back. And a few of our users had written in and really thanked us because the connectivity that we provided them was the only connectivity that they would have had for themselves, their family, and for the I guess their local neighbors who who kind of suffered from the power outage. And we were very, you know, humbled and grateful that we were able to provide and sustain their connectivity and really improve our offer to them. And so that's just one example. We've got a ton under development, but in terms of what we certainly have available now, especially to our beta users, it's definitely been eye-opening to see how much of a utility that your connectivity actually is. Mobile broadband connectivity is becoming more and more of a quintessential utility as opposed to just a nice to have or just a discretionary capability. Families, individuals, students, professionals, the mobile connectivity has become, you know, pretty much pervasive in every part of life. And to limit access or to have trouble maintaining connectivity from month to month is been challenging for families. And that's why we, you know, want to bring a new kind of expectation and experience to the market with FreeMe. And and we've learned quite a bit over this last year how critical our services are. And like I said, we're more inspired to continue the charge forward. It's just, it's time to shake up the space a little bit. Yeah. So we're excited about what we've got coming.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I mean, look, I think connectivity, you're right. Internet, talk, data, text, wireless, all these things are, what I hear you saying, what I agree with you 100% on, is that these are needs, not so much desires or wants. These are necessities in our today's society, not so much luxuries, right? I mean, if this were having this conversation in 1998, people were still relying a lot on faxing and mailing and imprinting in person, different, whole different ballgame, different story. But it really is a necessity of life. So I hear how your service is essential. And you mentioned the situation in Texas, people being out of power and out of connectivity and having your company services being an inspiration. Really good to hear that. You know, I think that like in this time, in this pandemic, people are not really feeling that connected, right? Because they're all remote. They're not coming into a common office, eating lunch with their coworkers. A lot of people are quarantined. A lot of kids are homeschooled. And, you know, all of these scenarios that we're in right now in the last 14 months, when you think about it, kids, you know, virtually learning, homeschooling, right, requires connectivity. Workers being able to work from home, people who are out of work being able to look for jobs and have maintained Zoom phone Zoom interviews, all need, you know, to be able to connect. So, does FreeMe offer? Is it like the cost model that makes you sort of stand out, or is it the level of connectivity you're having?
So it's really one, our structure. Into our partnership basis with carrier network providers. And for the fact, so we built the platform to be able to support multiple carriers and to really actually be able to pass on what you would consider probably wholesale savings onto the end customer or what we consider as members. So that's the main thing there, is to really be able to figure out how do we really undo the current construct of the monthly rate plans that continue to escalate kind of month over month and really just provide a more simplified, elegant, and just better experience overall. So we have our low annual membership, and then you have your unlimited data, talk, and text included as a member with FreeMe. And our overall overarching long-term goal, I'm actually really resolute. Our team is really convinced that access to the internet should really be cost-free, or at least have some dramatic cost basis here reduced. And for us, we want to start with eliminating wireless billing. And then from there, how do we build and work toward some solution that really brings about broader access and remove that cost barrier? So that's kind of our spiel. And we're really excited about it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because usually in the last 2 minutes of the show, I turn the mic over to you and ask you to, if you want to share about your company more and share more about what you do. And I think you kind of gave us a really good sense of how Afrimi distinguishes itself. I'm wondering, in the last minute or so we have left, or 30 seconds or so, can you tell us, how can people find out more about Afrimi? Where can they visit?
You can go to free.world, or you can go to freemi.com, whichever works. Mm-hmm. Hit our contact button and submit talk radio, and you'll be added to our email list for our big launch and discounts as well. So that's the best way to kind of get in contact with us.
Excellent. David, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was a pleasure having you as a guest. In the next 30
really
seconds, I'll just wrap.
It.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm Eric Sarver, folks, host of Employment Law Today. You just heard from David Barkley, CEO of Afrimi, Inc. Check him out, freemii.com, for those listening. Tune in next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Thank you. And David, thanks again. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners, looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.